Don't worry, our church isn't shrinking. There's a lot of people gone for the weekend. We're a little lighter crowd today, but it's great. Sometimes small is actually better. Do you know that? Could be nice. But today's scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I'd like to begin by just reading that scripture this morning. Apostle Paul writes in this letter to us, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this time to open your word together and spend time in your scripture, and to just spend time today trying to understand better this idea of being strengthened by your Spirit and understanding your love. We thank you and we praise you. We pray that you'd help us to do that today. Speak clearly to our hearts through your word and with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You ever watch those old strongman competitions? Yeah, the ones where they pick up the big rocks and things like that. Yeah, different events and different things. I was always just kind of blown away when I was younger by, you actually couldn't really tell who the strongest guy was. Like, there's a guy out there, he's just completely, like, just ripped with muscles, like, everywhere. And then there's some other guy named Magnus something or other. He's, like, about 6'6". It looks a little bit more on the thin side. The muscles aren't bulging as much. But, man, he's got it down in there, and he could just really lift that stuff, and he's, like, really strong. So, like, on the outside, there's evidence of when somebody's really strong, but sometimes it actually has to, like, really play out, and you see that. And I think we probably would have ideas, like, if we had a certain job to be done at the church here, like, we need some strong guys to do this job. We'd have some guys, we'd look around, and we'd pick those guys to do the job. But today we're actually talking about spiritual strength. And spiritual strength, man, you could have some people that are really frail on the outside, but they're really strong on the inside. And you have people that are really strong on the outside and they're really frail on the inside, spiritually. So there's some value in physical strength. Don't get me wrong, physical strength, fitness, that kind of stuff is important, it's good. But being strong and being healthy and being well spiritually is of so much more value. Apostle Paul actually writes about this in one of his letters here. So today's about spiritual strength, and that's really the whole theme for today. You know, spiritual strength, what it is, where it comes from, all those kind of things. So let's talk a little bit about spiritual strength before we get into digging through breaking down this letter that Paul wrote. When I first went through this, I thought, I didn't really pick very many verses for this week. This very well could be a short sermon. I don't even know how much I could say about these things, but the more I started like unpacking, I was like, wow, this is really big. There's a lot here, you know, so it's probably not going to be short. But so let's start with this. What is spiritual strength? What is spiritual strength? I like the definition that I found in Bible Hub, which is a really good tool for your Bible study online if you're ever using that. Lots of good Greek tools, Hebrew tools, language tools, word tools, commentaries, different things in Bible Hub. But Bible Hub's definition, it's kind of long, it's not just a simple thing, but it says it's an inner fortitude and resilience that believers possess through their relationship with God. This enables Christians to endure trials, resist temptations, and to fulfill God's purpose. Can I get an amen to that? That sounds like good, right? You want that? That kind of strength you want. That's the kind of strength that we really all need. Like, you can see that, like, the need to have that strength because there's opposition. There's forces that work against it, but we need to have that strength, but that it comes from the Lord. So what are some examples? Spend a little bit of time talking about examples of spiritual strength. Actually, when I was working out just yesterday, I thought of this. I was like, really, if we're going to talk about examples of spiritual strength, we need to actually talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. So examples of spiritual strength would be the fruit of the Spirit. You could see it playing out in people's lives. Like that work of the Spirit in us, what the Spirit produces in us because we're in Christ, that playing out, that's an example of spiritual strength. So in Galatians 5, 22 through 24, it describes the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So a person who is strong spiritually has strong and healthy fruit. The Spirit is producing fruit in a person that's strong and healthy spiritually. And kind of one thing I think to think about being strong spiritually, it's all independent of circumstances. It's not a matter of like, hey, I'm joyful when things are going well for me. But no, I'm joyful because of what Christ has done for me. I'm joyful because of the way the Spirit speaks to me. So just kind of to say those same things, maybe like in a little bit different way when we think about examples of spiritual strength. That's a person who loves unselfishly, even people that don't love back, even people that are difficult, you know, and it's that idea of loving. When you really love, you're not expecting something in return. It's just genuine on its own. So that whenever you can do that, despite circumstances, that's an example of some spiritual strength that you have. The other one, like we said, patience, but another way that that's sometimes the word that's given that it's translated is long-suffering. So suffers through long and difficult circumstances without giving in to temptation, without changing countenance, without getting really frustrated, without like lashing out or something like that. Now, you guys all like this to be real, but I was actually realizing last night, my son James came over and we took the dogs for a walk. And I was like realizing, man, dude, I am getting so impatient with this dog right here. I get angry with this dog because he kept pulling on the leash. Pulling on the leash, choking himself. He wouldn't listen. And the thing that was, this is Ollie, our bigger golden retriever. And what was really like driving him the most, yeah, Gracie was doing it too, but what was driving Ollie the most was whenever Gracie and James were out in front of him, you know, he's like, you guys can't be in front of me. I got to get out of here. You know? And he would not listen to me. And I tried talking to him. I stopped him. You know, we gave him treats, all these things, you know. But I was like, man, I'm doing a sermon on spiritual strength, and I just do not feel very spiritually strong right now because this dog is getting the best of me. And then you have to kind of like acknowledge, like, I really should take him for more walks than I do. I'm just, sadly, I don't mean to blow any impression you have away with me, but I'm not that kind of person that's always out walking the dogs, like. We have a big backyard, and they have like a golden retriever habitat in the backyard. But I don't walk them a ton, so it gets like really frustrated. So I was like, but the Lord was, I think, speaking to me and like, look, cool it, guy. You know, this is an example of what I mean. You're not being very strong spiritually in this moment if this one dog can just get you all frustrated, you know, and impatient in this time. Amen. You ever been there before? I think it's partly because you got other things going on, you know, things are happening, you know. There's a lack of like just peace right there through it. But sometimes the patience is actually, and it's a spiritual strength, but like there are people that just get under your skin, circumstances that really get the best of you, and sometimes you can just explode or something like that. Okay, but that's the opposite of spiritual strength. So the spiritual strength would be you can get through it without doing those things. You can take your dog for a walk without getting like really frustrated. Spiritual strength, you know, I'd say the person that's spiritually strong would go out of their way to show kindness in the name of Christ. All right? This kindness we talked about, we actually saw that, maybe it wasn't in the name of Christ at first, but like on Malta, we were talking in Sunday school, how the people of Malta showed kindness to Paul and the people. And that word there for kindness is the same word, it's almost exactly the same philanthropy that we have. It's hard for me to even say that. I almost got that. But the Greek word is almost exactly like that, you know. But it's actually the same word that we talk about benevolence or love for mankind. That's what it is. And so when you show the care and love for mankind, you're showing kindness. That's showing a spiritual strength when you do that. A person who's spiritually strong focuses on the benefit of others because they have a changed life, right? That's goodness. Goodness is like, man, the Lord has changed my life. I'm going to return some of that to other people. Amen. How many of you have a changed life in the Lord, amen, right? And it's like you share that with other people. You want to give back because of what the Lord has given you. Faithfulness, it's like lives a life of faith and is also faithful to God and to others. You know, you believe. You're a believer, you believe in Christ, you follow Christ, and then you live a life that's consistent with that. And so by doing that, your word is strong. You know, what you say is true. You keep your word. It's gentle. You know, so that doesn't mean you're weak. You could be really strong, but you know how to be gentle. You know how to be kind. You know how to be caring. And then finally, there's this idea of self-control, and this is spiritual strength. Self-control, you want to be strong spiritually. That means you can control your emotions, you can control the passions of your flesh, you can control yourself in these ways, and this is, again, this is what the Spirit gives us, all these things we're talking about, they're the fruit of the Spirit. We don't do this on our own, but the Spirit gives this to us, but that's an idea of being strong spiritually. Like if you give in to every temptation, if you are super emotional and your emotions drive everything that's going on, that's not a picture of being spiritually strong. Being spiritually strong means that there is control over those things. Amen? Now, how many of you think that being control over your emotions and over your passions and those things help in relationships? Yeah, it'll help big time in relationships. And so it's an idea of being strong spiritually. Now, so this idea of fruit, you know, we see fruit, we can see. Like, it's a little bit like, I'm a little bit out of order here, what I want to say, but this is what's come to mind for me. I have it later in my notes, but it's a little bit like the strong man, right? Like there's the strong man, like you can sometimes you can actually see it. Like you see the muscles bulging, you see the guy, you're like, this guy is strong. We can actually see it. We can expect it. We can inspect the fruit. We can see it. And sometimes you don't actually really see it until it's under the right circumstances. Like when they're lifting the big boulder. Right, you just don't see like whether a person is spiritually strong until they're actually really put under some trial or some difficulty. Amen. And it's easy to come and look spiritually strong, but to be spiritually strong is like a whole other thing. Now, another example of spiritual strength, I would say, is from the same letter that Paul writes from Ephesians, when he talks about spiritual warfare at the end of the chapter. And I'll read a few verses from this. But Paul writes, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So spiritual strength is being able to stand against the devil and his forces of evil in the spiritual realm, right? This idea of like wrestling and fighting and taking your stand and not being moved, like the devil's trying to attack. His spiritual forces are trying to attack. There's spiritual warfare that's going on. It's like happening in a whole other realm or dimension or something. We don't realize it, what's going on. There's so much of that happening around us like all the time. And he's saying, this is what you need to do. This is the kind of strength. I want you to be strong in this way where you can stand against the devil. Amen? Stand strong and fight and put up a fight and do it with the weapons that I give you. And that's happening again. It's like it's happening in the spiritual realm. But it's happening where we live and what we can see too. It's like there's like this idea of like an intersection. It's happening both places at one time. But our fight is ultimately not against people. It's against spiritual forces, it says right here. We have that. And that's like where we need to be strong. And that's what this is about today. So I actually hope today is really encouraging for all of us. Like this like builds you up to say like, man, I want to be strong. I got to go get strong. I need strength to go through what I'm going through. I need strength to do the job that God has called me to do. Amen? Spiritual strength. So other examples of spiritual strength, just some I thought about, would be courage. Like you got to have the courage to go do a different difficult thing. And we talked about that in Sunday school. We talked about Paul having courage. Like, do any of you struggle with fear and lack of courage sometimes? I actually think we all do. So I wasn't prepared to say that if you didn't say so, that do any of you struggle with lying? Because, you know, life can be quite scary sometimes. And especially like if we're new to experiences and different things we go through. And sometimes our courage level can come way down and we need to be encouraged. We need to be built back up. We need to gain that courage again. We need to recapture it. We need to have that faith and confidence in the Lord to go forward. And so having courage is an aspect or an example of spiritual strength. Discipline would be another one. I actually got some good feedback on my comments last week about the phones and how much discipline we need with the phones. And that's an obvious one, but what I was saying, I hope you were listening closely, if you watch all those short videos again and again and again and again, it's warping your brain. Yeah. And the discipline that you need is to say, I mean, this is what I did in my life, and I catch myself every now and then going into that habit, like, nope, my rule is I do not watch any short videos and I don't scroll from video to video. Because when I do that, and when you do that, you're having somebody suggest to you content. You're having somebody pour content into your brain, controlling your thoughts, you know, warping your brain. Yeah, it's a way to get brainwashed, I mean. So, but I think we could think like, well, yeah, maybe the Chinese are trying to brainwash us. I mean, more than anything, it's the spiritual forces in the spiritual realm that use that stuff to brainwash you and to begin to draw you and to put a wedge between you and the Lord. So in this world that we live in, you can write this down if you need to, this world that we live in, you need more discipline now than ever. And I need more discipline now than ever. Because there's so many easy things just thrown at us. But that's spiritual maturity, that's spiritual strength. And that's what we're here today for, amen? Stewardship, I think, would be another example of spiritual strength. Stewardship would be like, okay, realizing that everything you have belongs to the Lord. And it's not about you, and you're not like, what can I get out of this? What is this? But it's like, hey, this is the Lord. I'll do with it what he tells me to do with it. And I will bless those he tells me to bless, and I will share with others, and I will give, and I will be part of investing in the church and investing in missions and all those kind of things. Amen? Because it's the Lord's and it's what he wants to do. But that's the spiritual strength when you have that. Also, I say spiritual strength is when you realize like you can't do it on your own, but that you have to rely on God. Like a lot of people think that's weakness, like you've hit a weak point. But no, actually, you've hit strength. It's strength when you realize that my strength is nothing. I'm stronger when I'm weak. Apostle Paul writes about this too, right? In weakness, I am strong. Okay, so that's relying on God. And then the last one I want to throw in here, there could be more. And maybe you think about more. Maybe write some more down. Maybe do that. Okay, spiritual strength. You know, what are some examples? What does it look like? But I'll give you a really big, important one. It's called forgiveness. Forgiveness. When you can forgive others who have hurt you, when you can give it to God, when you can do that, then that is a sign of spiritual strength. You're seeing an example of that. Okay, when you are dominated by a lack of forgiveness, when you're dominated by past events in your life, that's a lack of spiritual strength. That's just the opposite. Amen? So again, that's sometimes a matter of giving it to God, not dwelling on it, not doing those things, looking ahead, trusting God, spiritual strength. All right, I'm almost to the passage, guys, right? Just a little side story. This week came to youth group. We had a great small youth group. Again, it was a light turnout, a lot of things going on. One of the kids came around the corner. I don't know if it was Max or somebody came around the corner and said, "Hey, whoever has the white Toyota, you got a flat tire." And I came out there, I looked at my tire, and there was a huge nail, not sticking in my tire, but sticking out of my tire. I don't even know how it happened. Like, the sharp end is sticking out of the tire. And it's on the sidewall of the tire. And I'm like, this doesn't look good. And I'm not really a car guy, but I knew enough to Google it, and it said, it didn't say it like this, but might as well have said, "Dude, you need to get 4 new tires. Because your car is all-wheel drive, and anything in the sidewall that's compromised, they're not going to be able to repair that. You're going to be out here. You're going to have to go do that." So I took the car down, got him at Costco, walked over to Jamba Juice, worked on my sermon here, and kind of when I was in there, like, working on it and thinking about it, all this kind of stuff that I'm sharing with you today is kind of like from my study time in there, what I was thinking. I was having a good Caribbean passion smoothie and doing this Bible study here. Because I didn't want to go drink the caffeine, you know. I'm off that right now. So, anyways, again, trying to rely on the Lord for my energy, not caffeine. All right, so back to this. How do we gain spiritual strength? You want to know that, right? Like, we're here, we're talking about it. Like, hey, that all sounds good. I want to get stronger spiritually. How do we do that? How do we gain spiritual strength? I think it needs to start with the fact that we need to know where it comes from. It's God-given. Talk about it being spiritual. We see that in the passage. We'll see that in the passage as we get through. Okay, it's a spiritual strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's God-given. He's the source. It's a little bit like physical strength in that it's developed through resistance oftentimes. Like, God can just give you spiritual strength. He can just give you physical strength, but then it gets developed, it gets cultivated, it grows under resistance. So in the spiritual side, the strength is, the resistance sometimes is trials and difficulties, hardships, those things we go through that we don't like to go through, but those things we go through them and they make us stronger spiritually. Amen? That didn't sound like a very big amen. That was like, yeah, I know. Well, that's so often how we actually grow. Like, when we don't get what we want. When things happen that go different than our plan. When we have a trial or a difficulty or persecution. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." We can think about that a lot like spiritual strength, right? "The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." God is using all those trials and difficulties that we go through to make us into the strong people that He wants us to be so we can serve Him. Amen? Amen. It's a good promise to hold on to. I do think of my niece and nephew-in-law there, Joel and Annalisa, and the fire and stuff like that. It's like, I do know, because God has said that He is with them through that, and He's going to use that, and He's going to use that to make them steadfast and strong in Him spiritually. Amen? So, what can we do to gain spiritual strength? We can draw near to God. You know, try to be close to God, get close with Him, you know. It's like hanging with the best personal trainer ever and working out with Him, right? He will make you stronger. He says, if you draw near to Me, I'll draw near to you. It's a promise. Spend time in the Word and in prayer. No one who wants to be strong spiritually can skip time in the Word and time in prayer. Just not going to happen. You are not going to be strong spiritually if you're not in the Word and if you're not in prayer. And maybe you might say, like, hey, I don't read the Word, I just pray. Sorry. That's not going to be good enough. You need to be in the Word too to get stronger. Right? So you got to do both. You got to be well-rounded. Spend time in the Word and in prayer, but God's going to make you stronger through that. Okay? So those are just some thoughts on spiritual strength. Now I want to expound on the Scripture. Amen? Amen? These verses expound on the Scripture. Now, in our Sunday school class, the Apostle Paul, when he expounded on the Scripture in Rome with the group of Jews that he met with, he did it from morning to evening. morning to evening. So like at the shortest, morning to evening could mean like doing it from like about 11 to 5. You know, right? But I mean, I think it was more than that probably, right? So we have time today, don't we?
Amen. Amen.
All right, but now I'll keep it digestible here. That's my goal. So back in Ephesians chapter 3 that we read earlier here, chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and in earth is named." This is the second time here that he said, "For this reason." Remember last time in the beginning of the chapter, verse 1, he says, "For this reason." And then he seems to go on this little parenthetical thought that he shares, which we said we took so much out of, which I even thought had like the main emphasis of the passage. And I guess people kind of have different ideas. When Paul writes, sometimes it's kind of hard to connect his thoughts together. It's almost like he's starting to write and then he gets another idea and then he goes, "Well, yeah, but remember this." Maybe that has something to do with the way they worked as scribes, and it might be different if he was like typing on a computer, he might have done it differently or something, but the way that it worked back that time, the way that things were transmitted and written down and recorded. So he says this again, it's the second time. And the first time he said, "For this reason, I, Paul," and he talked about how he was a prisoner, but he never really said, you know, what the "for this reason" was connected to. There was no verb given about himself or anything like that. And that's why people look at this as a parenthetical thought, and they think that this "for this reason" is just now, I'm going to go back and I'm going to continue the thought that I had in the beginning. And I'm going to share what this reason is about. Okay? So that's a way to look at it. And so that would mean that the reason that he's talking about is the same as the reason in 1, in verse 1. And then it would go back to what he's talking about in chapter 2. Chapter 2, which would be the mystery of Christ, which is God was bringing the believing Jews and Gentiles together into a single body. Now, maybe Paul's a little bit like us, though, too, and maybe he's not, maybe as he's writing it, maybe it's kind of a connection of all the things, all these thoughts flow together, and just maybe it's connected to what he was also saying in the beginning of chapter 3, where he writes of being a minister to the gospel. Like, I'm a minister to the gospel. I'm a minister of this mystery, right, that God has given. And I think I kind of probably like to look at it as combining all those things together as the reason. But I would say that, like, what he writes, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." The reason, the thing that was the reason, the thing he was thinking about, all the stuff that he was writing of before, this was all very humbling to Paul. And it drove him to go down to his knees and to pray. Right? And this, again, this is an idea of like spiritual strength. Like, we see that. Like, what could be better than for you to go down on your knees and you pray? Now, you don't have to assume that posture, right? It's not like we have to do that way, but that's a good posture to have before the Lord. But it's like this idea, when he's talking about being in his knees, what he's really talking about is prayer there. And this passage that we're looking at, one way to think about it and look at it is, Paul, this is how Paul, yet another example of Paul praying for believers. So you want to know how to pray for people? This is an example of how to pray for people. Amen. Shows it right here. I mean, I think these are things we should desire and want for ourselves, but this is all so that what we should want to see other people have and do. So these thoughts, you know, that he has, these thoughts about the gospel, these thoughts about the kingdom, these thoughts about God, the fact that he's just blown away that of all people, he could be made a minister to the gospel, is just humbling for him and made him want to pray. What drives you to prayer? What drives you to your knees? You know, what drives you to that point? Yeah, I think I heard that Thanksgiving. That's a good one, you know, but what are the things that drive you? What? How about this? This is a little bit different angle on it, but what about your calling from God so humbles you that it drives you to prayer? I mean, like for me, it's like, I already told you, like, I feel like I'm in the rodeo every week when I get up here and I do a sermon. Every week I feel like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this again. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this again. I don't know if I'm going to have the energy and the concentration and even keep my mind together enough. I think my mind is pretty much fried all week after this. And it's getting harder as I get older, honestly, to tell you the truth, you know. But, you know, as you think about it, it's like, for me, it's like, it drives me to prayer. I just say every time, I'm like, God, I don't know if I can do this again. But I know you can, and I trust you. And I'm going to get up, I'm just going to put all my heart into it, and I'm going to do it, and I just want to share what your word says. Right? But it's humbling. What about your calling drives you to that point? Drives you to that point, you're like, and you see it, you understand that you have a calling from the Lord to do something to serve him, but you know you can't do it on your own, and you need to go to him for strength, and you're just driven to pray. I don't even think I'm a good prayer example person, right? I've always find it a little easier to just read the Bible and then attach a prayer or something like that, but to be like really rich in a prayer life. And I think maybe that's where God has to like show us like, nope, I need you on your knees. I need you to count, rely on me. I need you to be praying. Amen? So be dependent on God. And he says this as he's talking about, he goes down, he prays, he's on his knees, he prays, he says, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Now, I told you last week how to be rich. You remember that? If you weren't here, you were like, I missed that one. I should go back and listen to that one. I'd like to know how to be rich. I told you how to be rich. And I told you that God wants to make you rich, but he doesn't want to make you rich in material things. He wants to make you rich in spiritual things. Amen. Right? And he told you how to do it, and he says he just keeps offering it to you. And so many times he offers it to us, and we refuse it. And he's offered, and he's offered, and he's offered. But Paul writes it like when he's praying for these people, he says, I'm going to the source. I'm going to the source. I'm going to the wealth of God. I'm going to him, and he has an abundance, and he can give out of his abundance. So I think it's really important to go to God, to go to him, because he has what's needed to give strength, to give abundance in this way. And this is the first of four connected mays in the passage, okay? Mays, you see, like it's there's a may, there's a may, there's a may, and there's a may. So this may happen, this may happen, this may happen, this may happen. They're all somehow kind of linked up together, right? It's a little bit hard to like break it down. It reminds me a little bit of asynchronous computer programming, right? You guys want to hear this, don't you? Asynchronous computer programming. Now, synchronous computer programming is when you say, do this, then do this, then do this, do this. I could write all the instructions, and I can know they're just going to happen in order. Boom, boom, boom. I don't have to think about it. Right? Asynchronous computer programming, which actually is more difficult, it's like you write something, you don't know how long this thing is going to take, and it's going to happen like on a different thread of execution. That thing's going to happen on a different thread of execution, so the next thing's going to start before it's done. And like you don't really know when that thing you asked to be done is done. Like it might be like load an image or something. Have you ever seen like on a web page where like images come in at different times? They don't come in all at once. That would be an example of that, what it's like. But it can be any kind of complicated things going on. And so like computer programmers have invented this logic, which kind of makes it a little simpler to do some of those things, but where you can actually chain up some of these things together. Like, okay, when this thing is completed and this thing is completed and this thing is completed, even though they're happening like in different threads, they come back together and you can join them all up together. And then this good thing could happen at the end of it. Amen. And then some of you are like, you've just lost me.
How was work today?
But to me, like I was, this is just, you get to know me a little bit, like, just sharing my life experiences here with you. But it's like, I see this verse like that. When I look at it, I'm like, oh man, it's like, yeah, these things are happening and they might be happening like one after another, or they might be happening like a little bit independently, but they all come together into this one good thing at the end. Amen? So that's kind of what you need to know. It says here in this verse, remember what it said. It said that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Again, I've mentioned this already, but we're being strengthened by the Holy Spirit. So I like to put it in my own like simple terms. I've got like this for whatever reason. I do it different every time, but this time I got like these like little just strong, powerful statements, okay, about what we want to be, what we want other people to have in their lives. All right, you ready? This is what I want for you. This is what I want for myself. I want you to be Holy Spirit strong. Holy Spirit strong. Holy Spirit strong. Amen?
Amen.
And when you're Holy Spirit strong, that's something that's not happening on the outside, but it's happening in your inner being. Like that's the immaterial you that exists, you know, the enduring you that happens to be strong there. So we want to be Holy Spirit strong. The next one is, so that, Jeff's favorite phrase, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. The idea of liking so that is that, you know, God gives us things and then there's a reason he does what he does, and he uses those things to bring out other things in us or to use us in some way, right? So here he says he wants you to have the strength of the Holy Spirit so that Christ can dwell in your hearts through faith and that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. And that's kind of a little bit hard to understand that, because you got to have Christ dwelling in your heart to have the Holy Spirit. Amen? Right? It's like, it almost seems like this is out of order or something here, you know? So this is, again, this is like kind of goes to that idea of interpretation. How do we interpret that? What do we interpret that to mean? To be saying to us, do we think that's saying something new or different about salvation? No, that's not the way I think we should interpret it or take it at all, you know, as we look at it, right? But that we are Holy Spirit strong, we're strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Christ has made his dwelling, but I just think it's like more and more for him to take home in our hearts. For him to just be more and more at home. Like, you can do things in your life that make Christ uncomfortable. That make the Spirit uncomfortable, that grieves. Oh, by the way. Ready for this? Praying to Jesus, asking him into your hearts. A lot of people are like, that's bad. You shouldn't do that. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't use those words, but talks about Jesus coming and living in your heart right there. Right? So, I mean, I think sometimes the language we use with kids and different things and how we talk about it, like some kids would be like, yeah, you know, hey, listen, I could feel Jesus in my heart right now. Boom, 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 boom. You know, kids kind of get a different idea. So we want to communicate clearly with kids and do that and stuff. But this idea of, he promises in other verses, Jesus said, we will come and make our home in you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes and he dwells in your heart. He lives in your heart. And I think this is like a picture of him just fully moving in. Like, it's not like, hey, Jesus, you got this one room up here. The rest of the house is mine. It's like, no, like, you dominate the whole house. The whole thing is yours. That's what we want, right? So again, that powerful, like just short statement is, I want to be home to Christ. I want God to make his home in me. I want God to make his home in you. Amen?
Amen.
And then he said to be rooted and grounded in love. And it's kind of difficult the way he did this because there's so much more that's going to come about love right now. But I mean, I would say that's like kind of one of the most foundational, most important understandings in all the world that you and I need to have is that God loves us. Jesus loves you. Isn't there a song about that? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So rooted and grounded in love. And then he says, let me get the last part. Let me read the last verse that we already talked about this. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Two more mays there, right? It's the second and third may. So you got couple mays, a so that, and a couple mays, and it's all like fitting together. But here, like what he's talking about, he says, I want you to understand God's love. I'm praying that you can understand God's love because you're rooted and grounded in love, right? Because Christ is at home in your life, that you can understand God's love. You could comprehend it with all the saints, you know, all the church to have that. That'd be something that we can have in common, but that you can see the breadth and length and height and depth. Now, I'm not that smart in some of these kind of things, but, you know, like as you look at it, it's like, I think it's just the vastness of God's love. You can actually understand the vastness of God's love, how big that God's love is here. And then he follows us up with, it's like, he says that you can know what's unknowable. Did you catch that? You can know what's unknowable. And I think the way I would take that is you can know what's otherwise unknowable without God revealing it to you. But you can know this thing. And it's like, we won't fully know it, but like we'd be beginning to know it more and more. But it's like we'll be able to search it out forever, God's love. Great song we sang today. I could sing of your love forever. It's like that idea. I was thinking about that when we were singing that. I was like, man, some of us are probably sitting, I can sing of your love. We're just kind of going through the motions and things like that. Because I do that sometimes. I don't want to do that, but I do that. And that's not a spiritually strong thing to do. But as we're there, it's like, if we're really thinking about, man, if we're really sitting here thinking about the vastness and awesomeness of God's love, that we could really just sit there singing about it forever. Yeah. Amen? So, again, I think the other thought, one more thing on this is, he says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so again, that's to know the unknowable, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You may be filled of the fullness of God. Everything that God offers, what he brings to completion and fullness, you can be filled with God. So the shorter, like just bullet items on there is, this is what I want for you, this is what I want for myself, is to know the unknowable. To know the otherwise unknowable, and to be filled with God. Right? Home to Christ, know the unknowable, filled with God, Holy Spirit powered, you know. Then Paul breaks into this doxology here. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's a beautiful doxology at the end there, but he's closing this with, like, again, looking back to God. Let's turn to God. We're praying to God. These are the prayer to God. And he is more than able. He is abundantly able. He's far more able to do anything that you think or ask. It doesn't mean he's going to do everything that you ask the way that you ask it, but he is completely able to take care of any problem that you or I have today. Amen? So that's who we're praying to. And the strength that we've been talking about, just to kind of bring it all home, this idea of spiritual strength, okay, it's according to his power at work within us, right? So we want God's power at work within us. And then we want to use that power so that, this is my own so that, Jeff, so that we can give him glory as a church. This year, next year, our family, our kids, our all generations, to just keep giving glory to Jesus. That's why we're here. Amen? All right, did you get anything out of that today? I hope you did. If you're like, I didn't get anything out of that, then that was my fault, I guess. But let's spend some time this week just thinking about being stronger spiritually and seeking it in your life. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we could spend together in your word. And we often are not operating in the strength and power of your spirit. So help us to grow in that way. Convict us of our sin. Show us where we have been immature. Show us where we're lacking, Lord. But encourage us and bring us along gently as you always do. We thank you for that. And I just want to pray for everybody that these things would be playing out in all of our lives. Lord, thank you so much. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.